Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry. I remember about a year or two ago, this video came out of this crazy product called Line X. It's this substance, if you've never heard of it, this weird chemical compound that you spray on in the bed of your pickup truck, and it protects the actual truck from any stuff that you might throw into there to prevent it from getting scratched or dented or whatever. And these guys did this demonstration where they went to the top of a roof and they took a watermelon and just threw it off the roof, a normal watermelon. And it flew down and went crashing to the ground and just splattered. It just obliterated, as you'd expect, from throwing a watermelon from, 100 feet up. Well, they went up to the same rooftop, sprayed a different watermelon with Line X, and it forms this rubbery shell around whatever it gets sprayed on. And so the watermelon was coated, and they threw the Line X watermelon off the roof, and instead of splattering on the ground, it just bounced about 10 feet in the air and then came to a bouncing stop. And the guys ran down to the ground and inspected it, and the thing was still intact. It's unbelievable how well this stuff works. Now, they cut open the watermelon, the Line X watermelon, just to see what was inside. And it was mush, nothing but mush. The reason I'm telling you this is because my head feels like a Line X watermelon right now. Katie and I got to India a couple days ago. We flew from Colombo in Sri Lanka to a small city called Madurai in southern India. The only real reason we chose that city was because it was a cheap flight and there aren't any boats anymore between the countries. Otherwise, we would have done that. But since we had to fly, we just took the cheapest one we could find. Madurai actually turned out to be a pretty nice place. The temple in the middle of the city is just huge and really interesting to go visit. It's this gigantic Hindu temple where most of the people going are real Hindu worshipers. But they don't mind if non-Hindus go through the majority of it too. So that was just a fascinating experience. Only real issue we had with Madurai is that it's so incredibly hot there. All day long, we were just worried about getting sunburned and dehydrated, and we were just getting a little bit tired of day after day after day of baking heat. And I know it's like the end of winter and everybody at home is still wrapping themselves up and trying to avoid snowstorms and things like this. And they don't want to hear me talk about how hot it is, given how cold it is where they are. But I don't know. The grass is always greener, I guess. It's difficult existing in a world where it's just 90 plus Fahrenheit degrees or 35, let's say, Celsius every single day. So we decided anyway to come up to the hill country in southern India. We went up to this town called Munnar from Madurai. There's normally a pretty good road, I guess, that you can take, but this road's under construction. So we rode this bus up the alternative route. It's about this town that we're in is about a mile above sea level. It's much cooler, much nicer weather here. But getting here was really difficult. The road is in terrible condition. The bus we were on had no shocks at all. I mean, we went over a speed bump a few times and got thrown a foot in the air just from going over a speed bump, like at a really slow speed. So we were getting jostled everywhere, and well, that's how my head ended up feeling like a Line X watermelon. I guess it's all part of it. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting older or whatever, that these long, bumpy bus rides just seem to get more difficult as I get older. Or maybe I'm just not remembering my younger years from like 10 years ago when I took, seems like I took way worse bus rides for way longer and wasn't as bad off, but memory can play tricks on you too. Who knows? Maybe those rides were just as bad. Anyway, let's get into this podcast. While we were in Sri Lanka during our last week or so, we stopped in Colombo, or actually a suburb near Colombo, and we did some couch surfing. Our host was named Ruan, and he was a great guy. He put us up in this special area, like a big room on the second floor that was separate from the main house that he had reserved just for couch surfers. This is awesome. Ruan really gets it. He's traveled all over Europe and used couch surfing all the time and met so many really interesting people through this platform. And now he's paying it back, you might say, or paying it forward for his next journey. And he's hosting all kinds of people in his own home. It's really a cultural exchange where you get to know local people and learn about their life. And for the people who do hosting, it's a great benefit as well. I mean, when I lived in Wisconsin, I hosted a lot of people on couch surfing, and it felt like I was still traveling. I mean, I got to hear everybody's stories and made a lot of friends that way too. So I definitely recommend couch surfing for anyone who has not tried it and is into this international travel scene. But interestingly enough, you just never know what you're going to get when you couch surf or when you travel with no real plans. And Katie and I were actually the third and fourth couch surfers in his place at that time. The other two were this couple from Ukraine. So the space that Ruan has for couch surfers is really big. So it's basically two giant bedrooms. And so these two people from Ukraine had the other room, and they happened to be tattoo artists. Now, my vision of what a tattoo artist looks like is not what these guys looked like. They didn't have any tattoos. I pictured a tattoo artist being covered, but I think they're just waiting for the right artist to come around. And they were really serious about it, though. They've done hundreds of tattoos, and I've seen some of the artwork. It looks really great. And they're at least somewhat funding their trip by giving tattoos to local people. And Ruan had put them up for like a week. So the girl, Anna, just went up to him, I guess, one day and said, hey, you know, thanks for hosting us. Would you like a tattoo? And Ruan didn't have any tattoos. And he said, yeah, sure, why not? So they discussed what he might want and came up with a design. And they made a bicycle on his calf. And so while Katie and I were there, we got to watch our host, Ruan, get a tattoo. Very interesting how the whole setup works. And it looked pretty painful, but the result looks great. And I'll put up some posts, some pictures of the whole process on my website, 1000daysbetween.com. I think Ruan is very happy with the results as well. And it was just a really interesting day. Not at all what we would have expected going in, of course. But like I said, you just never know what you'll get. Anyway, so Ruan is a really interesting character, and he agreed to sit down with me and record a podcast. We definitely talked about his tattoo. That was probably the biggest part of the podcast. But we also talked about some of the places around Sri Lanka. Ruan really knows a lot about the history of his country. And we talked about Kandy a little bit and the Temple of the Tooth. This is a very sacred place in Sri Lanka where supposedly one of the Buddha's teeth is stored in this ancient temple. It's from like 2,500 years ago. So that was really interesting to talk about. And I guess before we jump into this podcast, I just want to say I just learned that there's been some real rising tensions in Kandy in the last couple days. I don't know exactly what happened. I don't have the whole story, but supposedly some people got into a car accident and started arguing over who was at fault. And the people in one car were Muslim. The people in another car were Buddhist, or just one guy. And the Muslims ended up beating up the Buddhist, and he ended up dying from his injuries. And then the Buddhist community, which is the majority in this part of Sri Lanka, they retaliated by rioting and destroying some temples or some mosques. And it's a big mess, and it's really sad because Katie and I were just there, and we really love this part of Sri Lanka. This country's been through so much. They had a civil war that just ended a decade ago. So much violence in its history, and things have just been peaceful, seeming at least lately. It's one of those things where Katie and I didn't really have any emotional connection to Sri Lanka before we went. We didn't really know anybody from there. And now that we've seen it and been there, and we know the places they're talking about in these news stories about the riots, it seems so much sadder. And I'm not even taking sides. I don't know who's at fault. I just wish this kind of thing wouldn't happen, and hopefully the law and order gets restored soon enough in Sri Lanka. I'm really thoughtful of this situation and hope it improves. All right, so that all being said, Ruan and I recorded this podcast before any of this happened, so we don't talk about it, obviously. But let's get into it right now and listen to my conversation with Ruan. First thing I wanted to talk to you about was that tattoo.
Good.
And I came here yesterday, or 2 days ago now, with Katie.
Okay, sure.
And then you told us about this, maybe you can tell us the about the couple that was just here.
Right.
And how this whole thing happened.
With couchsurfing always, it is who we meet, sometimes with different talents. So when we are having the things, when the couchsurfing requests are getting and we are responding to them, we are getting to know each other and coming to know what are the things which we can share it with.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
With these two lady and gentlemen, actually these are from Ukraine, Max and Anna. So she is the one who talked to me. So actually the thing is, she is a very lovely chap because she wanted to do something like, because she is from Ukraine. They I think off from Ukraine about 2 months back, and was in India, Mumbai and Goa, and they are tattoo artists. For last 2 years, like, they were doing tattoos, and they have earned something in India, and they were seeking for the opportunities to do tattoos and everything in Sri Lanka, and they asked that. I told them, okay, no, in Sri Lanka I don't think people are doing much of tattoos. But still you can come over to my place. And first they have requested it for 2 days.
Okay.
So next they told me that, okay, I can do a tattoo for you. And yes, I asked, okay, what sort of thing? She said, well, tell me what you like.
Oh, so she brought it up. You didn't ask her a tattoo?
Naturally, first thing, she is the one who proposed to me.
Oh, wow.
Right, okay. So she told me that, okay, I told him that, okay, I love reading. I love cycling. So I was having few things in mind when she told, and I searched through the web and I just checked on her proficiency with checking her Facebook and her couchsurfing profiles, and it looked very professional. And yeah, she has done some good matured works. So I thought that this would be the right person if I'm getting done this sort of a thing technically well.
Yeah.
So after that, we decided the book reading and all those stuff would be something, okay, you can do later, but the cycling would be the thing which come first.
Yeah.
And so cycling thing, we have taken it to account and checked on few of the original tattoos which have made by someone else's.
Okay.
So from those, you have selected the one. So that's how this came into picture.
So yours is based on another tattoo, or is based on a picture?
This is based on previous tattoo one has done.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So we had taken a picture of that, which was there in the, in internet, in Facebook, I think.
Oh, all right.
In, right, so just she had given me the idea, and I asked her about the consequences, how painful it would be, what the time, you know, the all childish questions.
Yeah.
This first time I'm moving.
Normal questions.
Even for you, the same, right?
So, oh, yeah, I don't have any. This is your first tattoo.
Exactly. So, actually, from my friends, even very less tattoo guys are there. So
Not such a big thing in Sri Lanka.
Yeah. So, therefore, but she had shown me that technically how they have done the things and how friendly things are. And there was a good sort of a communication gap between her, because when I'm responding to her, she always sending a voice clip, not the writing, because her writing skills in English were very poor.
Okay.
I had to listen to her things and how to do the things and technically converting the things up.
Yeah.
So it was some sort of a thing we had to do. So discussions went on. So they came over here on last Sunday, directly from India. So moving on some places, and we were planning how to do the things and all those stuff. So they wanted to have it in a daytime without disturbing the others. So end of the day, it came the right day on yesterday. So you guys are here too?
And it just happened to be the day that we got there too.
Exactly. So it was a lucky moment, and the things coincided well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we have done it, and yeah, it looks good. And I feel it's going well. So yeah.
It's not so painful anymore?
Well, when you're touching, it's a bit of painful, because when it was doing it, actually really painful.
Yeah,
because
I saw
it was
your
really,
face.
Really like not pinching. Not at all. It was like really like doing cutting off some part of yours, like at very first.
Well, I guess it
next
literally
got used
is doing
to
that,
the body.
Yeah. Right. Huh.
So yeah, now I love it. So hope that this will be getting into my body soon.
Yeah. No, I think it'll look great. It's not like you're not showing any sort of allergic reaction or anything like that.
No, actually, but the thing they have done it, they use the very much of proper chemicals and the proper way of doing the thing, very professional way as you saw it.
I saw it, yeah.
So that they were having the right needles and the right sort of chemicals and the colors and all those things are very much things which are using globally the best things.
Yeah, high quality.
So high quality. So,
and she wore gloves.
Things look very high quality, right? When you see this,
it does.
The lines and all those things, and the depth of the lines and all those.
The little details.
You know, this is not doing a painting. This is just doing something on someone's body.
Right.
So the finish and all those things looks very much professional, and so I love it.
It's awesome. So with travel, I think you just never know what you're going to get, you know? And like Katie and I were planning to come here, and I had no clue 2 days ago that I was about to see someone get a tattoo, and I've never even watched someone get a tattoo. So a lot of people travel and they have a set itinerary, like we have to go visit the temple and we have to go visit the church or museum or whatever. And for me, it's more like I like to just see what comes at me, and you just never know what's going to happen. And so this was a very different and unique experience, and I'm really glad that we were able to
see it. Actually, this is all about what you're saying is absolutely true, because being you are like professional travelers, you are having no job at daytime, you are doing the traveling totally, you can do this. But me like person, I'm having a professional daytime job and family to take care of, and therefore have to have some standard meaning of living. So right, so therefore I have to be sometime restricted into things when I'm doing traveling somewhere. I'm doing this much of things within this time frame. If not, I will be in trouble, because within a few days I have to return. But for you like guys, now you have taken the leaves from your job and doing full time traveling. Yeah. So as you told, it's absolutely correct, and I feel jealous of you guys, because you are not having a permanent plan, but still you are getting into the system and see how it goes on, adjust into the card, into the plan, and see what are the possibilities and how you can change the things up, and the next step you are taking into that, and you are getting into the foods, culture, people. As you correctly told, both of you are getting more touch with the people, talking with them, know how the locally things are happening. Not sometimes missing the all big things what others are looking into.
Yeah.
But the life as it is, you are getting in touch as travel.
Yeah, that's well put. That's well put. I agree. I think if you go somewhere for just a week, it's fine. I mean, a lot of people, that's all they can take off is a week. You're going to see some sights, but you'll see it almost like from afar.
Exactly.
And I think when you travel for a long time, you can really get deep, get into the culture, and get to know people like you from the local place.
Exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Actually, in travel, there are a few aspects that sometimes identified. As I told you earlier, there are people who are coming to see certain rituals. People who are coming to certain festivals. Like in Sri Lanka, if you take that, in Sri Lanka, very much famous. July, like you are coming, you can see the Kandy Perahera. Kandy Perahera, which may be coming from last 400 years, which is happening one of the annual ritual. They are honor to the Lord Buddha's tooth relic. That Perahera is happening, and all the elephants are even just honoring him, doing all those things about in the Kandy Perahera. More than 50 elephants are going, and a lot of dances and fireworks. And also the lot of colors are there, because more than a few hundred thousand people are gathering throughout Kandy in that season to watch Kandy Perahera. That sort of a thing should not miss by a tourist sometimes.
Okay.
So for those things, even sometimes tourists are coming specifically for those things.
Huh.
And also players like, also as I told you, at Kataragama, they are having the Perahera. And also, if you in Sri Lankan culturally, shown you, the Sri Lankan wedding festival, that is something unique, and it is only happening in Sri Lanka that way.
Right,
the Kandy and wedding festival.
We just watched a video of two people getting married, and
exactly.
It's like nothing I've ever seen. The Buddhist
exactly,
life.
Yeah, so those sort of things people would like to learn and be there, lived it, right?
Right. So what does Perahera mean? Is that just festival?
Perahera means a festival. It's an annual ritual festival. So what happens is, like let's say our Christmas, or let's say some Christian church, we are having the feast.
Yeah.
Right. So in that feast, you are having going around the church, and some parade like, right? You are familiar with the parades.
Sure.
Right?
Parade.
So
parade
and Perahera both are same.
The
Sinhalese term for parade is Perahera.
Uh-huh.
Right. So the Sinhalese Sri Lankan parade consists of what we are having culturally here. The candy and dances, the other dancing items, the music, fireworks, and all the other ritual works, and with the national flags, and the elephants, because elephant is some sort of a national costumed, that's how I identify elephant. He is the national costumed animal here in Sri Lanka.
Uh-huh.
If you go to somewhere, if someone wants to name Sri Lanka, or the island mostly. Both countries are fighting for the ownership of the elephant. But more into Sri Lanka, we are just using the elephant as our national animal like.
Sure.
So in Perahera, elephant is used a lot.
Okay.
So like that, it's a parade. So the parade is happening for about 8 days at night.
8 days?
Yeah. So it consists of two parts, actually. The first part would be called the Kumbal Perahera. In Kumbal Perahera, it consists of four Devalas. Devalas means for the gods, four gods, whom we called, Pattini, Vishnu, Kataragama, and one more, right?
These are Hindu gods.
Hindu gods. For them, they are having ritual Perahera. Those are smaller ones, actually. Those are going around in a smaller way inside Kandy. So if you see in Kandy, there is a street called Perahera Vidya.
Ah, okay. I remember that street.
Okay,
right.
Perahera Vidya means specifically that road is the one which comes from the Temple of Tooth until Kandy Main Street, come to the Perahera.
Ah, okay.
Right? So Devala Peraharas, next 4 days would be the Randoli Perahera. That means which are honoring the Temple of Tooth.
Yeah.
So they are having the dances, all those things, and the end of the day, the Perahera will be finishing, just honoring into the Lord Buddha, and the country's leader, president, will be going to Kandy all the way to accept that Perahera was ended. That is a national festival.
Oh, that's the end of
today.
It. Okay. Now, you mentioned the Temple of the Tooth a couple of times. Exactly. Can you just explain what that is? Because most people won't.
Right. Okay.
Won't
Temple of Tooth is actually, you know, is the Lord Buddha's, the one of the tooth relic, has taken away from India about 1,500 years back.
So it's supposed to be one of the Buddha's teeth, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was taken away from India, and that is the one most honored teeth, which is there in the globally. So there, which was taken into Sri Lanka about 1,500 years back, called Hemamala and Danta, a king and a queen.
Okay.
So there, they have given it to the Sri Lankan king by that time. The king's name was Kitsiri Kirtishri Megavarna.
Wow, such right, okay. This beautiful,
big
long
name.
Names.
Yeah, long name. Very so long I can't tell it is a shorter name, right?
Right.
So after that, it was put there in what they call the in Sinhalese called Dalada Maligava, or the palace for the tooth relic, and it built in Anuradhapura. So time to time, this was continued, and after finally about 300 years back, this was established there in Kandy.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So in there, the tooth relic, it really accepted in Sri Lanka that if you want to be the king in Sri Lanka or the leader in Sri Lanka, he should be on the tooth relic.
He should be on the tooth relic.
Oh yeah, because the owner of the tooth relic is the king or the leader of the country.
Oh, the honor. I see.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so okay. The one who is having the ownership is the king or the leader. Now the president. That's why the president is going all the way to Kandy after Perahara will be ending to accept it from the so-called team that Perahara ended.
Okay.
Right?
So,
so the president, once he normally get into what he called the presidency, once he elected, like your Obama or this one, is giving his oaths.
Yeah.
Mostly the after giving those, the right away after that they are going to the Temple of Tooth to honor it.
That is
the first ritual they are going to do. Therefore, that sort of relationship in between the Temple of Tooth and the country's leaders are having. And that's how the Kandy Perahara has become one of the major events in Sri Lanka.
Huh. And that's in July?
Sorry?
The Perahara is
that
in
happens
July?
In actually end of July or August.
Okay.
That's according to, it's happening in the, what we called, the in the August Poya Day. Full Moon Poya Day is the last Perahara day.
Lunar
and
calendar.
Lunar, according to the lunar tower. So it starts 9 days before the, what we call the, that Poya Day. And it will be finished by the 9th day. The last Perahara would be happen on that 9th day.
Oh, 9 days after the full moon?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Huh. And so, did Kandy used to be the capital of Sri Lanka?
Yeah, actually, in Sri Lanka, as I told you, there were several capitals.
Okay.
In once the first kings were started in Anuradhapura, it was there for about 1,000 years. Then after that, Polonnaruwa for about 250 years. Then it came to Damodaniya, then to Yapahuwa, then to there were several few small ones, Gampala, Kotte, Kalambu. All those things were small periods, about maybe about 50, 60 years sometimes. But Kandy was our last capital, which was established in 1500, like, and it continued until 1815, until the what they call the Englishman taken country fully into control.
Oh, so
the Kandy was the last king's capital in Sri Lanka.
I see, the last kingdom, and then
last kingdom,
and then the colonial, the English took over. And
yeah, colonial English fully. Taken over the country's control by the 1815.
And it still is Colombo today.
Sorry?
The capital still is in Colombo.
Actually, our Sri Lankan capital was converted to Colombo by Englishmen, actually, right?
Yeah.
So now, after that, Sri Lankan capital used as Colombo by now, the commercial capital would be Colombo, but the administrative capital is called Kotte or Sri Jayawardenapura Kotte. It's more the longer name.
Oh, okay. Again,
it's about another 15 kilometers away from Colombo.
Yeah. The names are so fantastically long.
Actually, Sri Lanka is like Chinese name when we talk about each other, right?
Yeah.
So those names are very much of pronunciations and the how it named sometimes really funny, like for you.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, there is one of my friend, his name, Sri Vikum Anuradha Parakum Manabarana Ranasingha. You can't pronounce his name,
no
right?
No way.
And there may be some guy's name called Jayasingha Arachirage Dong.
So if I call your friend, I say, hello, is Jayasingha Arachirage Dong there?
Right. Because there are some in our names, there are three parts. One is the gay name, other middle names are there, and the final name. So it may be really difficult one to read it out. You know that in our birth certificates, his name, the normally lead it for three, four lines someone's names.
Yeah.
In the identity card, sometimes people's name is not enough, the space is not enough to put their names in.
Oh, right.
So, yeah, those funny stories are there.
Right, right. Or like the... There's jokes about some American football
exactly.
players with really long like Polish names.
Exactly,
they don't even
exactly,
fit them in jersey.
Exactly.
I bet that happens with cricket here.
No, actually, the thing is the how that long names comes. When I studied it, mostly sometimes people are trying to use all their genetical names. That means from their uncle, their grandfathers, grandparents,
okay.
all the gay names are coming like that. And after that, they are using some other middle names as well, and the final surname. So people are having longer names
right.
to keep it up. Their community, like the show off.
Yeah.
Maybe mostly be the show off.
Yeah, the place names too, though. It's really hard for tourists because we want to get a bus to go somewhere,
mm-hmm.
and we're like,
mm-hmm.
Hi, I'd like to go to Tissamahara, and I have to say it perfectly.
No, actually, some English names are okay for me, but when I was traveling in Germany, Switzerland, or maybe Netherlands, France, all those names are really difficult for
Very
me
difficult.
As well. In English, when you write down names, even really difficult to pronounce those.
Yeah.
Actually, just for example, a small name like Brno in between where Bratislava and Prague, because that is the second biggest city in Czech.
Uh-huh.
I'm still trying to pronounce it in the right way.
Uh-huh.
I first is called as Brno.
Uh-huh.
Now I know it's calling as Brno.
Brno.
Yeah, but there's a difference. There's a difference on your dialects, how you pronounce it, how your tongue tastes, right?
That's also.
That, right? Also, yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the more difficult parts of travel.
Exactly.
By independent travel, especially, because you've got to catch buses all the time and ask for people.
No, actually, I think that is a part of the travel too, our learning.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, when you know how funny sometimes people are pronouncing certain things, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it takes a good ear to listen to the people here too, talking, because it's such a different accent.
Actually, maybe, when you are a solo traveler or traveling as a two or something, you have to be very good listener sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
Because you have to take time for that more than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing here, though. The people are incredibly friendly.
Exactly.
Like, they couldn't be nicer.
So, just tell me how you saw Sri Lanka, and what is your good experience here about Sri Lanka? How you feel it?
Well, we're really loving it. We got here. We didn't really spend any time in Colombo. We just...
Mm-hmm. No, don't do it, because Colombo is not something to be seen. It is only a capital, which is...
Yeah.
There are only buildings. Nothing to be.
Right, and we tend to avoid those places when we travel,
big cities.
Sure. The only reason we went there, well, the airport's there, but then because we had to get our Indian visas,
because
that's where we're going.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
But then we went up to Kandy, what we were just talking about, and it's just such a beautiful place, up in the hills and much cooler climate.
Sure.
So we really loved Kandy, and we spent over a week traveling around the hill country.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
lucky
awesome.
Lucky guys.
So we got
you
to
have
see all
to
the...
because the hill country, that's how, because I think you might be aware that our hill country is one of the UNESCO heritage.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So because there are about another 20 places globally only, some locality has become a heritage, world heritage. Therefore, it says that all the waterfalls, the forest, and the,
right.
How it consists, constituents. Are making to be a one, and it says as a global heritage. So yeah, that's a very much something you have to study well, and you have to travel and experience for sure.
Yeah, yes. Important for local people too, I think.
Of course, sir. But we are just only going to certain definite places. Like you told correctly, the Sri Lankan people, if they are going to Horn Plains, they are going to World's End only. So they are not trying
right.
to see going inside and walking on some certain paths and see. The Horn Plains is much more than that. So
sure.
that's that. So it's like we have to identify, because if we have to see the beauty of the world, Yeah. You have to be different.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
If you are doing the same thing when others are doing, what my experience was, if we are not getting the right side of that, because sometimes the thing what we see regularly will become polluted, more of usage.
Yeah, I think that's a great point, that everyone's going to be doing a certain thing, and you don't have to do that. There's no rules in this game.
Exactly.
So one that you mentioned was this national park, the Horton Plains. And one downside we found, but also pretty good thing about Sri Lanka so far, is the national parks. I think Horton Plains is the only one that you can actually hike in, or one of the only ones. And most of them you have to take a safari.
Sure.
But that's good because they have preserved this nature
really
well.
Actually, the thing is that inside those other national parks, why it is not allowing for the hiking is because the people, especially the visitors, would get harmed by the animals.
Yeah, also,
there are such incidents.
Right.
Because it is not saying that you are not totally allowed. There are some people who are still doing hiking. Especially there for us like knuckles and all those things. Even I have done the hiking. But you have to get some special permissions and you have to go with the right security. So that's why they are not allowing it, because there may be some animals, especially elephants and leopards. Those, if you has something gone wrong, it will be going become a global news. So all the tourism and all those things would be blocked.
Yeah.
So it would be very careful when you are giving the things, approvals and all those things. For those things, and that's why I think authorities are doing the right thing.
Yeah,
but Horton Plains actually not that much unsafe, because there are very less incidents happens throughout the many years. As I know, I think no.
Right, that's a good point. So anyway, Horton Plains, Katie and I went to. It's up in the hill country, one of the highest parts of the country of Sri Lanka,
sure.
And there were hundreds of people going there,
sure.
And these tour groups and going. Hiking to what you mentioned, the world's end, this
sure.
lookout over the plains down into the lowland tropical areas. So fantastic view. But then we saw like so many people going on the same trail. And we're like, oh, we don't want to be on this packed trail. And it turns out there's another trail that's longer. It doesn't quite have the ending point that has a spectacular view. But we just started looking at it. We're like, let's just do that one. And so we went. Actually, one guy warned us. He said, you shouldn't go on that one without a tracking guide because there's leopards here.
That's what I told. That's what I told you, because the things should be safe and people wanted to make sure that
that's
things
right.
are happening properly.
It's hard to know as a tourist or a traveler how much to take that seriously. Like, because I found a lot of the time I'll meet locals and they want to protect me. And they're being very, very cautious. And they don't know anything about me or my skill levels or anything. So they'll just say these things just as a precaution. And sometimes they really mean it, though. Sometimes it's serious. So, but luckily it turned out fine. But Katie and I had this whole trail to ourselves. And some of it we were walking through, like, waist-high grasses and really felt like we were in the wilderness. And it was pretty scary, actually, looking out for snakes.
No, actually, even certain places, even we can't believe that those are in Sri Lanka.
Ah, it's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. What you're saying is absolutely true. In certain places, when we are in, we felt that we are in either Amazon or some in Congo, somewhere like, because the very scary places, locations at night, even you can't think of sometimes.
Right?
Very true.
All kinds of stuff that can kill you. Then
exactly.
Every rustle we heard in the bushes, we thought it was a leopard coming for us. And a couple of times I actually grabbed Katie's hiking pole to somewhat defend myself.
Understandable.
But we had a great hike. And
sure.
So it was awesome. So that the hill country we loved, the Ceylon tea, we got
sure,
to see how that was
sure,
grown.
Sure.
We've heard the term Ceylon tea, but we didn't know really what it meant. So now we've experienced that. Then we went to Yala. I think Yala was our other highlight.
Sure.
Another big national park. And there we did a safari.
Sure.
From the safety of a Jeep.
Sure.
And that was awesome.
Just give me a second. Sir.
Sure, yeah.
Come with the...
Yeah, okay, we're back.
Sure.
So you had to cover your tattoo.
Exactly. Because tattoo girl's instruction was make sure that it did not be damaged by anything for first 2-3 weeks. So
sure.
If a short, for sure, it's easy for me. So I have to cover it because the precautions should be taken. I feel that I have to take care of that rightly, right?
That's a good idea. Yeah,
sure.
Take care of it. All right, and you brought out, what is this called? Tea?
It's called, this is a herbal tea, like. You may taste it. It's made out of what you called gotu kola. And also there are a few of the other leaves which you can use for the, just grind it. You can mix it the coconut milk and mix it rice also. There may be some rice you can taste it.
So
this is some sort of accumulated thing, and it's very tasty and very healthy. First thing, the best thing is that.
Yeah, it's not too sweet.
If you can have, yeah. So if you can have something like a cup of this for the morning, early morning with the breakfast, half of the breakfast, I'm having this. Perfect for the day.
Yeah, what's it called again?
Kola Kanda, or the, let's say, herbal drink.
Ah, okay. And it's a green drink. Yeah, I guess that's because of the leaves.
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Actually, this is something herbal drink, or let's say it's a type of porridge.
Oh, okay.
The kanda means porridge.
Porridge.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Go ahead, sir.
It's, one interesting thing about being in the tropics, just how much of the stuff that we cook with that we're used to seeing in our kitchens in America.
Exactly. So you
have
can
no
see
idea
the
where it comes from.
Rice is here.
I see rice inside of it, yeah, floating at the bottom. We have no idea where any of our food comes from.
Sure,
especially
sure.
The spices and stuff, because they're grown in the tropics, and now we're here and we're like actually seeing the trees. That,
you know, funny stuff is, I think I had shown you, I had got some what you called herbal liquor from Czechoslovakia when I was in Czech. Uh-huh. It's called Perestroika. I can show you the drink bottle.
Perestroika?
No, not Perestroika, that, not that system. Perestroika or something like that.
Perestroika. Okay.
Yeah, I will show you the bottle. So that drink bottle, alone, it is something like mixed with the cinnamon and processed with cinnamon and made it to be a liquor.
Huh.
It's a herbal drink, like, but it's 38% of alcoholic.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And the funny part is, when you checked it, for the company, all the cinnamon is exported from Sri Lanka. So I have gone all the way to Czech to get that bottle and taken it to here.
To take
right?
It,
cinnamon is, we are exporting from Sri Lanka to there, and we are taking that drink bottle from back from there. And the best cinnamon, and if you say best tea and all those things, cinnamon, cardamom, all those things are coming here because our tropical environment and all those made it to be the best constituents are coming into those things.
So
lucky that things are coming on this way, and we are lucky to be lived here.
It's an interesting globalized world we live in.
Exactly, I mean, sir.
You hear stories of electronics being created in the United States and then shipped over to China, assembled in China, and then shipped back to the United States.
That funny part is there. Exactly, because I know the boats and all those things when it says that made in China, but the major parts, the microchips and all those things are started from US and maybe coming to you or me from China, assembled all those things in China.
That's right.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's all kinds of examples like that. It's really interesting.
Sure.
The cars, too. So, for example, Honda is a Japanese company. But now if you buy Honda in the U.S., I think anyway, it's mostly made in the
U.S. You call Hunters? Hunters?
Honda. H-O-N-D-A.
Honda. Okay, sure.
I think in Japan they say Honda, too. I don't know why we say Honda.
Yeah. No, actually, the name called is Honda because the guy's name is Honda.
Yeah, the guy who started it. Right.
Ichiko Honda.
Ah, okay. You
Ichiko
know,
Honda,
you know his first name too. Do you know a lot about Japan?
Well, not much about, because I've never been there, though it's in my cards. But anyway, for the trainings and those stuff, when the guys are going and all those things are coming, because some friends of mine are living there and they're asking to be there. But unfortunate things, as I told you, been doing a daytime job for those things. I'm having limited leaves. And as my pocket allows, only I'm traveling.
Oh, so you can't,
and also my time and pocket. So it's all about when you have time and the pocket to be traveled and all those things. And Japan is in cards, but let's see when you can make it.
Oh, that'd be great. So you can't work online then, or work remotely?
Well, in the future, there may be certain things comes. But for the moment, I'm doing on certain things which are in the management. But the technical stuff would make me to be more flexible, as you are telling.
Sure.
Because I know there are some friends who are doing traveling, doing the jobs. But this is all about when you are handling a family and all.
Oh, yeah.
You have to be very careful with your own or with some company or something. That balance would make you for the next step. So still my kids are growing and all those. So to be a traveler, I have to take the safety steps as well as the my hobby to be taken into the next step as well. So that may be because the Sri Lanka is a third world country. So we are not earning like nothing like not like US guys or the other developed countries. So with the from the minimal what we are earning, you have to think of how we handle the both the situations in a friendly manner without disturbing to the our day-to-day life as well as the future. So yeah, that's all.
Interesting. Yes. It's always tough balancing family life and travel.
Exactly. No, actually, it's not for a issue for me. Most of the Sri Lankans, Indians, who love to do this. This is good for you? You love it?
It's great. Yeah, this tea. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how it goes.
You said most Indians and Sri Lankans would love to travel?
Yeah, actually, I think Indians are doing more than Sri Lankans sometimes. But thing is, India is 60 times of Sri Lanka, and therefore more travel should be from India.
Sure. Last time I was in India, I noticed a growing middle class.
Exactly.
But still a very poor country in general.
Actually, they are having some sort of a good middle class, but still it's a lower middle class, not an upper middle class.
Yeah, right.
Because the lower middle class, still they are trying to out from the India, and still that's how the couch surfing is very much popular in between Indians who are living in abroad. Are supporting Indians when they are going to their own countries.
Oh, okay.
It's very famous because I remember when I talked with one of the couch surfer when I was wanted to travel to Germany, Berlin, and that was an Indian, one Kuma or someone like, and that lady told me that, okay, the same days I am getting two requests from one you and one from Indian. So being an Indian, I have to accept his invitation.
Oh,
right?
I guess.
Like that, maybe one incident, but they may be supporting more of couch surfing they are giving more support to their people, right?
Yeah, that
but
makes
still,
sense.
I could found, I think, more about 5-6 people from the same city. Sometimes I'm getting the response, so no worries.
It's no problem.
So, because.
Well, sometimes when you go to, for example, if you went to Germany and you stayed with someone from India or South Asia anyway, it might be good because you can understand them well. I mean, you know where they're coming from, but then you're also not getting the German experience.
But there are two sides of that.
Yeah.
If you are living with some ordinary German, your experience would be something different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because they know the culture, they know the history, they know the places, and all those things would made you to be, your travel would be more sort of fun, and if he knows the couch surfing and all those things well. So having a better understanding and your travel would be better. But but if you are having someone culturally more connected with you, for sure you will be having a safer stay. So both sides are there, sir.
Right. Both sides are there.
So how long more you want to be there with to the conversation?
Actually, my device is warning me the batteries are about to die. I just put in brand new batteries.
Sure.
And I guess that's what I get for paying 30 cents for batteries.
That's
just what they gave me.
Sure. So I think we had a good conversation.
Yeah, we should wrap it up, I guess. Well, why don't you explain to me, though, how did you get into couch surfing? Let's just take
couch
a couple
surfing
minutes.
Background, actually, it was really something I loved because I was a traveler, but the European travel, I just wanted to get in started with last year, 2017 January, one of my friend, when I was traveling to Jaffna, he told that, why don't you try couch surfing? Because in Europe, when you are traveling, I told that it's very costly. No, you don't worry, couch surfers are there a lot of in Europe and you can try it out.
Yeah.
So when I asked that, how can I start? He on that the same day, made an account for me and all those things, and he has contacted many a people, and just we could get in touch with one of the Jaffna friend, and he wanted to come to Colombo in few days time, so he has come all the way one day before for me, and at all the night he has explained me what couchsurfing is and so shown me the profiles and how it manages, how others are responding.
Right in the middle of your sentence, the batteries just died.
Yeah, the couch surfing.
Right. So this guy came like 8 hours by train.
Not train, actually. He was having a scooty pep, that small bike.
Oh, a scooter.
Yeah,
okay.
He was a scooter. Yeah, scooter even, and yeah, this like this. Okay.
Even more dedicated.
Exactly. So
just
he
to
was
tell you about couch surfing.
Sorry?
Just to come down here and tell you about Couchsurfing.
Well, not only for the my Couchsurfing, but he wanted to travel to Colombo because the guy is from Jaffna originally. He was living in Colombo and he was working here a couple of years back. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to see some friends and to get it done in some of his works. So he all the way, he has come one day before his travel and stayed with me and showed me all those profiles and all those things, how Couchsurfing works and all those stuff. And already we wanted, I already decided on the days I want to visit it. We have checked it, the who are the people who are around Sri Lanka who wanted her Couchsurfers, and just check the who are travelers over here and send some requests, because what he told is very directly, if you are served to the people only, others will look into your profile and see you are a good scout surfer. Mm. So by the time I went there to Europe, my profile filled with about 12 couch surfers already came into my location. So they knew about how references and all those things shown about me. So it was easy for me to others to accept me.
Yeah, this is very important for new couch surfers
to
listen to this, because it's much better if you host people first.
Exactly.
Or at least get to know people and get
Exactly.
Rather than just going and trying to surf.
Sure.
Because you don't have any, like, how, if someone wants to host you, how do they know what kind of person you are if you don't have any references?
Exactly.
Yeah, you did it right. You did a great job. Ah, I'm really glad you're doing this too. You're providing a great service.
I actually, mean, it's good that good
so
that is that that experience that would never count. No, it's that experience you cannot compare with anything else, because sometimes it is not complimentary. Mm-hmm. It is something you are earned. Like, so when you are getting this sort of learning, these things are the things which make you to the next trip. Because especially, like as I told you, the friend whom introduced you to me, Martin.
Yep.
These experiences are, I think, it's great, because the, especially when I wanted to know about the travel from the through the Trans-Siberian, I met one traveler that you two have traveled through that.
Yeah.
So those things are the things which are value addition for us, end of the day.
And now anytime you can just message me and ask.
Exactly. Why not? And please this, keep in touch when you're Sri Lanka.
Yeah, thanks.
I know anywhere in the world, because good to have good people, because as I told you, it is great that good people are getting together, while the bad people are making the sound and saying that world is bad. But if the good people are getting together and gathering, and the good things will be taken it to the next step, still we can say this world is good, right?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Definitely. I think a lot of people have a lot to learn from you. You've got some great wisdom.
Well, so both the sharings, I would love to have it, because it's end of the day, I'm learning something from you guys.
Yeah, and the world's a good place. That's a great message. Thanks once again to Ruan for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. For more information about me and some photos of that tattoo, you can always go to my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. Thanks once again, and I'll catch you next time.